Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for listening to the Best Ever You Show. That all sounds so fancy schmancy. We're on episode 523 today, and this is all from a home office, very grassroots, no advertising behind it, no nothing. It's all word of mouth. It's all you guys. So I love these moments when life graces us in these unexpected ways, and we have guests like the chairman of the board of directors of the Hormel Foundation, Jeff Ettinger, is with us. And you'll hear from him in just a second, but I just want to just say thank you so much again to everybody who listens and shares our show. We do air live, so this is live and tapes live, and then syndicates out onto places like iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, which is a new favorite of mine, and more. So anywhere where you get your podcast, listen to the Best Ever You Show or hashtag Best Ever You. Also, a lot of you like to click on websites while you're listening. So thehormelfoundation.com is a great place to kind of look around as we are chatting with Jeff. So Jeff, thank you so much for being here.
It's a pleasure, Elizabeth.
It's just cool. I love this brand. And I didn't know that there was a foundation that was behind the brand. So this has been really fun to Google, fun to look at the website, fun to learn more about you, and all the initiatives from the Hormel Foundation. I would love to know, do you want to start with how you became the chairman of the board of directors for the Hormel Foundation? Start with maybe some of your background.
Sure, that'd be terrific, Elizabeth. I grew up in California, but came to Minnesota in 1989 to join the Hormel Foods Corporation in the law department. Had other roles with the company in marketing and in finance, and ultimately ran one of the subsidiary companies, Jennie-O Turkey Store, out of Willmar, Minnesota, another small town, and ultimately became CEO of Hormel Foods and had that role between 2005 and 2016. The Hormel CEO is typically one of the board members of the Hormel Foundation, so I became acquainted with the foundation during that time frame, but have had a lot more time to become involved with the foundation's work since retiring from active duty with Hormel Foods, the company. And I've been the chair for the last 2 years of the Hormel Foundation.
Are you having fun?
It's terrific. I mean, we're blessed to have a wonderful community. We're blessed to have a tremendous funding source in the Hormel Foods Corporation. There's a certain percentage of the dividends that go to the community already each year. And so it's a fun task for the board members to then decide, okay, what's the best way to allocate those funds to support the local community each year.
And do the funds directly benefit Austin, Minnesota, or does it reach beyond that, or just that one town, or how does this all work? What are you guys most active in doing?
Sure. So the foundation was created. I'll have to go back in history a little bit to give a good answer to that. The foundation was created by George and Jay Hormel. George was the founder of Hormel Foods in 1891, and Jay was his son. Together, they were the first two CEOs of the company, and lasting over 50 years of the first stretch of the company's history. In 1941, with the next generation of Jay's then sons, choosing not to be involved day-to-day with the business, George and Jay kind of put their heads together and wanted to perpetuate as best as possible the wonderful role that the company had in the community, and also to kind of be able to keep the company as protected as possible from outside incursions and therefore provide local ownership. And so they created the Hormel Foundation in 1941, and the foundation has three principal jobs. We manage the funds for the trust of the heirs of George and Jay, and provide those funds on a regular basis. We vote what is now over 48% of the company's stock each year, and so we have a very significant ownership position in the Hormel Foods company. And then the most enjoyable duty is the fact that we get to benefit the local community. And so I'm finally getting back to your question. Sorry, Elizabeth, but it is
no,
for the
okay.
local community.
I have a lot of learning to do, so this is great.
That was the way the trust was established. They were deeply interested in making sure that Hormel still benefited the local Austin community. And so that's the way the trust is established, is the primary beneficiary is the community of Austin. We are able to provide funding for other ventures within the Maurer County area, but that's as far as we can go.
Okay. Now, 2020, is this year any different?
It is because, I mean, we have our annual contributions committee and contributions applications that are processed on a regular basis each fall. But we did decide with what was going on in the country and in our community this spring to establish what we called an urgency fund. So any local entity that was, you know, really having a particular struggle or had a particular opportunity to help our community address the COVID challenge, we provided these funds and have had numerous applications and were able to provide on a very quick basis some support in that regard, on top of the nearly $9.7 million that we gave in 2020 through the normal contribution process.
Yeah, I was clicking around, looking at all of the things that you do, and there's three really neat programs. Do you want to go into detail more about three programs that demonstrate the foundation's commitment to the community? I love these: Austin Assurance Scholarship, the Austin High School Annex and McPhail Center for Music. That's really neat. And the Austin Community Rec Center. Do you want to talk a little bit more about those? Yeah, that's amazing.
So the Austin Assurance Scholarship is in its second year. It's a scholarship that we provide to all the students in the community of Austin, that if they choose to go to our local community college, Riverland, and want to avail themselves of that opportunity, that we will provide tuition and book costs for a two-year program at Riverland. In the first year of the program, we had over 130 students kind of take us up on that and go ahead and attend Riverland under that scholarship. We're waiting for the final count for this fall. It's still a little bit fluid with enrollments going on right now, but they're confident that it will be every bit as large in the second year, if not bigger, and we've committed to do that for a number of years to come now. The company, on top of that, I don't know if you saw that in the news, but really a kind of an exciting announcement. They saw the success we were having in the local community, and they've chosen to expand the program to all of their employees throughout the country. And so any employee's child of the Hormel Foods Corporation who wants to go to a two-year program in their local community, the company will provide the tuition assistance for that.
That's incredible.
The second project you mentioned was the Austin High School Annex, which is a partnership with the McPhail Center for Music. The McPhail Center for Music is a Twin Cities-based, long-standing, fantastic institution that trains young people in all forms of music. We started the partnership with McPhail a number of years ago, and they've been helping provide lessons and augmented teaching to our young students here in the community for several years. Kind of together, we had the idea of having a project of upgrading what's called the Annex. It's a building right across the street from the main high school, which has historically housed the music department for Austin High School and for the neighboring Catholic school, Pacelli. And so we embarked on an $11 million project with McPhail to, in essence, create a new state-of-the-art center there that will house both the McPhail program and the high school programs. That's ready to open this fall. I mean, it's under the same, kind of odd circumstances that we're all dealing with, so they're having to kind of gradually ease their way into the facility and make sure they do it on a safe way. But it's a beautiful facility that will benefit our musicians in town for many years to come. And then lastly, the Austin Community Rec Center is actually the single largest donation that the foundation has made, a $25 million donation. We had a YMCA in town that was well used and had been well supported for many years, but had had, you know, kind of numerous patched on additions to it, and ultimately was kind of beyond its usable life. And so the community got together and established a project to create a new YMCA that would be part of an overall community rec center. And we were the leading funder, but the company also provided $5 million in funding plus matching funds from their employees. And the community at large in Austin donated several million dollars as well. So this is a beautiful facility that opened at the beginning of February. Again, the timing was, you know, ultimately a little challenging in the sense that it then closed again about a month later, but has now reopened on a gradual basis and with protections in place. And we're confident that as we head into the winter, that's going to be just another really wonderful thing for the local community to have.
Yeah. Now, in the boardroom, are you guys and women and men? I don't know who's on the board. I need to look at that a little bit better, so I don't want to misspeak. But do you guys come up with these ideas yourselves, or do people apply for assistance, or how does that all work? And what's your role in implementing these ideas and initiatives?
Sure.
Hopefully that came out right. I didn't mean to say guys, but that's just my speech.
Absolutely, men and women on the board. There are 19 board members, and we're really kind of a unique board. We are a public foundation. So under the rules of Minnesota public foundations, the majority of our board are actually community agencies that ultimately benefit from the foundation being in place. They are agencies such as the YMCA, the Salvation Army, the United Way, our local school district, our local community college, and so forth. In terms of how the kind of process works, there's sort of a dual process. There are a number of agencies on the board that receive support from the foundation on an annual basis. We have a contributions committee that has both agency representatives and non-agency representatives. And so they'll review the applications each fall. In fact, we just received them September 1st. That's the kickoff of the process. And by the end of November, we'll have made our designations of, you know, kind of on the regular budget, if you will, related to those funds. And then in addition, the three projects we just spoke about and many others over the years have been kind of over and above that. And those could well be initiated by board members. They could be initiated by other folks in the community who are not on the board. It's really up to the foundation board to decide, okay, is this something that we think is going to be beneficial to the community and warrants having foundation support? And so the three that we've already talked about are recent examples of significant investments that are over and above that annual contributions process.
Got it. I just clicked on the board members link finally. Sorry. I had you. I got you. I was more focused on you, but wow, this is an incredible group of men and women, from Bonnie, the former mayor of the city of Austin, to oh my goodness, yeah, I'm scrolling still here actually as we're talking. So I see what you mean. So you have like a representative of an entity, like Jeff Strickler is representing the Salvation Army, or the Salvation of Army of Austin. Yeah, there's a lot of people on here. Wow, this is neat.
Sure.
the website. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's a great group of folks. So about half of them, let's say Gemma Alvarado Guerrero, she represents the Parenting Resource Center. And then there are other members such as Randy Kramer. You'll see he's an at-large member. And so he's not representing a specific agency, but he's one of the general at-large board members.
Yeah, I find people fascinating. I can't imagine, I can imagine actually being in a room with everybody here and all the creative ideas and all the talents and backgrounds and everything. It must be just, it really, really quite something. People have questions as we're talking here. Do you mind taking a few questions from people?
Not a bit.
Okay, cool. Because people, we're super conversational. I hope you can tell that. And we love our public asking questions as we're talking and doing the shows. So people would really love for you to talk more about Hormel Foods as well. Do you mind giving us more information about things that aren't found, you know, that is separate from exactly the foundation, or should I stick to just the foundation?
No, I'd be happy to. I mean, as long as everyone is understanding of the fact I'm not the current manager of the company. My role there ended in 2016, but I certainly, after 27 years there, have a lot of familiarity with it. I have a lot of friends still there at the company, and it's obviously a critically important entity for the community of Austin. And so even in my foundation role, I mean, we do have a close relationship with the company. It's a wonderful company. It's in the food industry, we're considered kind of a blend of, historically a meat processor, but one that has always had a significant presence in the grocery aisle, dating back to such legacy products as Spam luncheon meat and Hormel chili and Denny Moore stew and Hormel pepperoni, those types of items. In recent years, it's grown significantly both through new product introductions and through acquisitions. And so, the acquisitions would include such new wave products as Justin's organic and natural almond butters, Applegate antibiotic free meats, as well as Skippy peanut butter as part of the portfolio now.
Mm-hmm.
Hormel Foods has a very significant Mexican food portfolio that's part of a wonderful partnership we have with two companies that are from Mexico. So we have both American-made products and authentic products made from Mexico as part of that venture that's sold in the United States.
That's amazing. Yeah, I grew up in Iowa, and I am super familiar with all of that, especially Denny Moore stew and chili and all of that. So, and Spam, totally know all of it very, very well. So do you have a favorite?
Oh, you know, that's really hard to pick.
That's not fair, is it?
I mean, the one I probably enjoy the most often is Skippy peanut butter, because that's pretty much a morning regular for me. But there's several others that I enjoy very much as well.
Yeah. The one thing I noticed I was doing, again, I was Googling and clicking around and all this stuff, and I noticed there was like a 125th, I don't know how long ago this was either, so help me out here, but 125th anniversary celebration, and there was this amazing video. All you guys, everybody got together. That's amazing.
Elizabeth, it was the most fantastic event. It was, you're always gambling when you do an outdoor event in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And the summer is better than the winter for sure, but the summer of 2016, we had, kind of a multi-block party that the entire community was invited to. There were booths and games and various musicians. The band Perry performed on a stage that was built kind of on a grass field right in the middle of town. And it turned out to be the most beautiful night and the most magical night in terms of just the whole community getting together and really enjoying the opportunity to kind of just celebrate.
Yeah, it looked like a blast. I got a kick out of the Hormel hug. Did you see that on the video at all? That was adorable. Funny. That looked like a blast. All right, let's go back on track a little bit, but thank you for asking a few questions and having some fun with us.
Sure.
Is it too late for to apply for, this is another question actually from someone, is it too late to apply for a grant for 2020?
Well,
that question makes sense. Yeah.
Yes and no. I mean, the process through the normal grant process, the deadline is September 1st. And so that kind of just did pass. We do still have the urgency fund in place on a local basis. And so those applications we are continuing to accept, and indeed just received a couple of them that we'll be talking about as a committee next week. And then in terms of these, kind of larger projects that we sometimes get involved with, those are less rigidly fixed to the September 1 deadline. And so, we kind of entertain those at different times.
All right. And would you consider donating outside of the community to something more national, or just keep, I think we kind of covered that, but if you want to touch on that again, that'd be really helpful.
Sure. We really can't, Elizabeth, is the bottom line to it. The way the trust was established, it was very specific in the language that it had to be benefiting the local community. We are able, however, to collaborate with the company because the company is not under any such restriction. And indeed, for example, that scholarship program I just mentioned to you, that, you know, they were able to take that program national, even though we couldn't have.
Right. Yeah. And so with a little bit of time left here, can we get to know you personally slightly better? Because we're the Best Ever You show, and we're all about helping people be their best. And one of the things I've noticed in doing so many of these shows now is that somebody is always listening who wants to know how you got to where you are and what steps you made to be where you are. Were you like this as a child? You know, all the things. Was there something else that you wanted to do when you were in kindergarten? You know, those types of questions. Can we go down that path with you for a little bit? Just career corner?
Absolutely.
Okay. Sure. All right. I'm going to start back in kindergarten. What was Jeff like in kindergarten? Where'd you go to kindergarten?
I would get in trouble for talking too much in class.
Really?
I don't know about kindergarten, but definitely I know that from my mom and dad over the years and looking back at old reports, that I was a little bit of a talker. I grew up in Los Angeles. So mostly in Pasadena, California, through public schools the entire time. I graduated from John Muir High School in Pasadena. I then graduated college and law school from UCLA, started practicing law and getting involved with a friend in a private business venture, and kind of found I liked business, even though my degree was in law. So when the opportunity came with Hormel Foods, it was in the law department. My credentials, I thought, were stronger in law, but I did want to try to go to a company where there might be an opportunity to move to the business side. I can't say I had some grand plan to end up as CEO, but I certainly was provided some wonderful opportunities with the company and was grateful for the different learning opportunities I had along the way, and that's where it ended up. But I often got asked by younger employees at Hormel about, career paths and are there certain things that you should be, planning out 30 years ahead of time? And I mean, there just wouldn't have been any way that I could have ever envisioned growing up in, suburban Southern California that, for example, when I was managing Genio, I'd be walking around in turkey barns, in coveralls and whatever. Who would have guessed that the California boy would be doing this in rural Minnesota? So in my case, I would never have been able to guess a career path with what I ended up. But Hormel Foods is a company that loves promoting from within and loves providing broad opportunities for people to do multiple things with the company. Our current CEO, Jim Snee, also has had several roles within the company, ranging from sales to marketing to logistics to purchasing. And so, that's a little bit of a unique opportunity that Hormel provides.
Yeah. Do you believe in mentors? And who has mentored you along the way? Do you believe in mentors? And who has mentored you along the way?
Oh, I totally believe in mentors. So Joel Johnson was the CEO before me. Joel gave me the opportunity to move out of the law department and take an opportunity in marketing, which had been his discipline coming up, both prior to Hormel and with Hormel. I learned a great deal. Actually, when I moved up to the Genio organization, there was an acquisition that occurred the next year. We ended up merging with another turkey company, and the founder of that company came on board, and we kind of co-ran it for a couple of years. And that his name was Jerry Jerome, and I learned a lot from Jerry as well in that regard. Dick Knowlton was the CEO of Hormel Foods before Joel, and he's just a legendary personality and somebody who we just coincidentally have houses next door to each other in Austin. So he's somebody we stayed in touch with even long after he retired, and he's somebody else I would consider a mentor to me.
Yeah. Do you, what do you think about lifelong learning? And sometimes people think that they need to act like they know it all to get, to where they want to go and all of those things. Is it better to be confident in acting like you know it all, or to be more of like a lifelong learner, or some mixture of both?
I think the latter is more important. I think it's to be open to learning new things, to recognize what you're maybe not as experienced at or maybe not as good at. When I made the move from the law department into marketing, one of the things Joel Johnson mentioned to me is he says, you know, you'll have succeeded when folks forget that you were in the law department, that they don't see you as a lawyer anymore. And, you know, so
I'm married
had,
to a lawyer, so I get it.
Yeah, that was, that was not a typical career path. Okay, all the marketers weren't normally from the law department. But so moving in there, I had the disadvantage of most of the marketers, for example, had spent extensive time in the sales field. And so I really spent a lot of effort trying to get out in the field, work one-on-one with a different sales manager, learn from them. This thing when I had the opportunity to manage in the finance area, to work one-on-one with our head of the tax area and the credit area and the cash management area, it's fascinating and really important opportunity to learn those things.
Can I keep going a little bit more? Because it's wonderful to get some insight, and I bet this is really going to help a lot of people as they think about just life in general. How important do you think people are? These are kind of broad questions, I get it, but just a little bit off the top of my head here and there too. But how important are people to you?
Well, I mean, it's the thing people ask me. I suppose most folks, once they're retired from their principal occupation, get asked kind of, well, what do you miss? And, you know, I don't miss having to hit the numbers each month or each quarter, but I do miss the people a lot. I mean, it was just a fun group, a dedicated group of hardworking folks. And, you know, you still see them, but it isn't a different relationship now. You know, the analogy I gave was I felt like I kind of had graduated, and now I'm one of the alumni in the stands cheering on the folks who are still on the field playing and definitely caring if they do well.
Yeah, sometimes that's a little bit of a break in a way, isn't it? It's kind of nice because you can just relax from stress a little bit. I'm guessing, how do you manage stress? What are outside interests for you, if you don't mind sharing with us? That's one thing we talk about a lot on Best Ever You, because we focus a lot with people on world-class excellence. And to maintain world-class excellence can be, you know, a whole lot of managing stress.
Well, for me, during my time with the company, I mean, my wife and I also have four children, and they were growing up in the Austin community while I was in the various roles with the company. And so, you know, my time was dedicated to both the company and the family. It's nice being in a small town and being part of a company that's very supportive of your family time. And so it was enjoyable to be able to go to the different events of the kids and so forth. In terms of, you know, on the personal side, I'm kind of more of a walker than a runner these days, but I get out and do that. I kind of started laughing when you brought the question up, because in theory, one of the stress relief things I do is play golf, but it actually seems to create more stress than it relieves. So,
I've heard that one before, too.
That's
hilarious.
If I'm accomplishing what I should be there, but.
Yeah. I call myself a wogger. I'm like this wannabe runner, but it ends up just walking. So it's wogging to me. All right.
I got this, Elizabeth, with it, that it's like I really never enjoyed running, and I do enjoy walking. And you just sort of take in your environment as you're going by. So it's kind of like I'm at the point, it's like, okay, why do the unenjoyable part? I'll just do the walking part.
Yeah, there's two things that I don't do very well. One is golf and one is ski. Both are just like, I don't know, I just was raised in Iowa, I guess. And somebody tried to teach me golf one time in high school, but as far as skiing goes, yeah, no. So I get it with running too, but yeah, pretty funny. But yeah, what about, I wanted to talk to you more about, let's go back to the foundation and then we'll wrap up here a little bit. What haven't I asked that we should know more about the foundation? We've given the website. We talked a little bit about the board and what you guys do. What the board does. I'll rephrase my candid conversation. What else should we talk about there? Is there anything we missed that we should cover? Just want to make sure.
I just think it's really nice that the foundation has such a broad array of not only representation, but involvement in the community. I mean, that you know, we talked about kind of the contributions process, but ultimately the list of recipient agencies or recipient projects is, you know, kind of definitely 100 items long. And so it's a great chance to broadly impact the community. I'll tell you one thing that we were involved with recently that both Bonnie Reitz, who is the vice chair, the former mayor that you mentioned earlier, and myself were really gratified to be part of was we hosted a community listening session in the aftermath of some of the, you know, police interaction incidents in the country and just kind of race relations. And we wanted to sort of give folks within the Austin community just a chance to talk about those issues. Our community has changed significantly over the 30 years that I've lived in the town, and it's a wonderfully diverse community nowadays. But these sessions, in fact, we just published an op-ed related to them that your listeners may want, could go look up in the Austin Daily Herald newspaper for some of the input we received from community members. And it was mostly very positive that our community members have had positive interactions with law enforcement, that they believe in mutual respect between law enforcement and the community members, and that Austin has really, in part because of support from the foundation, has had a chance to really put itself out there as a welcoming community.
Good. Yeah, I love that. I'm going to just let that rest, and because you said it so perfectly. And anything else? Because I think I want to direct people back to the website and so forth, so that if people want to become involved, it's the HormelFoundation.com. Do you, here's one thing I noticed. I noticed the foundation isn't on, that I know of, on social media. I could not find you on Twitter or Facebook. Is there a reason for that? I just wanted to make sure because I couldn't find it to connect. And if it's there, sure. I want to make sure I do.
I don't think we do. I mean, we do. Maybe we kind of tend to have a little bit lower profile. I'm not even sure we had a website until not that many years ago. But, the company is certainly one public face of the Hormel name.
Okay.
You know, at the risk of confusing your listeners even further with various Hormel things, there is one other entity that does have more of a presence that they might be interested in learning about, which is also a supported agency of the Hormel Foundation. And this is called the Hormel Institute. It's a world-class cancer research institute that's right in the community of Austin that over the years has received significant funding, you know, through the dollars we get from the company and then can in turn provide to the institute. There's just a new executive director was just named who's coming on board at the institute, and they're involved in exciting research related to cancer.
So important. I'll instead of asking you all of that information as well, maybe we could do another show on that, and I will make sure and I'll link that information to this show as well in case people want to look at that, because there's so many people that are suffering with that. And my co-author of one of my books, her husband just passed away from cancer in July. We're always looking out for things that help us in that direction as well. Well, it has been so wonderful to get to know you better and learn all about the Hormel Foundation. I hope that you will come back again or maybe write something for our website. Anything that you guys want, any way that Best Ever You can support what you're already doing, just let us know. We love that. We do a lot here and there with the V Foundation as well.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Elizabeth. It's exciting to be part of your live show.
Yeah, thank you. All right. So we're very grateful for Jeff for being here. And again, he's the chairman and board of directors of the Hormel Foundation. If you caught us late here, which I saw a bunch of people just join, I'm sorry. I know we had a little bit of confusion with the timing. The Hormel Foundation is a nonprofit 501c3 organization that was established in 1941 by Hormel Foods Corporation founder George Should I put the A in there? A. Hormel, and his son, Jay. Contributions from the Hormel Foundation directly benefit the Austin, Minnesota area. Go Minnesota. I'm a Minnesota girl. My whole family lives in Lakeville, so this is really special to have this show, too, just from that Minnesota tie-in. But the Hormel Foundation ranks fourth in annual giving among Minnesota's largest community public foundations and public charity grant makers. That's amazing. So go to thehormelfoundation.com, and we're just grateful. Thank you again, Jeff, for sharing. It was fun to get to know you and learn more about this wonderful organization.
Thank you again, Elizabeth.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a great day. It's a great day to be your best. All right.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.